Wonderful. Boys and girls, it's time. Oh, look at them. They're all gone. It's time for Super Church. Please make your way to the back. Let's give our kids a big round of applause. Well, they're ready to go. Wow. All right. The rest of you got to stay here, though, okay? Or at least come back. All right. Do you have your Bibles today? Yeah? All right. Turn with me or click with me, whichever applies, to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We are going to continue a series that we began last week. Last week we talked about and dealt with one of the appearances that Jesus made after he rose from the dead. How many of you know that Jesus was actually alive for a number of days, not just a few, after he rose from the dead? And the scripture tells us he actually appeared to over 500 people. And what we're doing now is taking this series, after the stone rolled away, we're taking this series and looking at some of those moments that are recorded in Scripture and what we can learn from them. Last week, we talked about taking a walk with Jesus. We talked about the Jesus appearing before two followers on the road to Emmaus. Today is a little bit different. Today is a time where Peter makes an interesting decision, and there's a lot of things that follow from that decision that he makes. And the Lord takes that opportunity to make himself very real to Peter and a number of his friends. And I believe God has a lot to say to many of us here this morning. So I want you to be ready, and I want our hearts to be open to what the Lord might have for us. Can you say amen? How many know this is not just about hearing me and what letter I'm going to use, but it's about the Lord and His Holy Spirit touching our hearts and doing something significant in our lives. And so that's what I want to see Him accomplish here today. So John chapter 21, and we're going to start at verse 1. John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. I've titled this message, Gone Fishing. Gone Fishing. How many fishermen here? Can I see your hands? Oh, wow. Okay. And fisherwoman. All right. Wow. Good for you. Good for you. I used to fish when I was a kid. I haven't done it in years. That has nothing to do with the sermon. I was just asking. But John 21, we're going to take a look at a particular fishing trip that, let's just say Peter caught a little bit more than what he was bargaining for on this day. So we stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this together. John 21, beginning in verse 1, and we will go through verse 14. John 21, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 14. Here we go. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow on the screen. Here's what it says. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Everybody say nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you that at this time you would prepare our hearts to receive from you. God, at this time you would do a great work in us. We know your word's anointed. No question about that. But Lord, I pray that you would bless the presentation of your word and the reception of your word. And God will thank you. We'll give you all the thanks and praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, and we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Gone fishing. Now, let me just pause here, okay? We are not saying that fishing is sinful or of the devil or anything like that, okay? So if you're tempted to write that email, just forget it, all right? So that's not what we're saying. What I want to do is go a little bit deeper today than that. But I want us to examine what I would call some spiritual fishing trips in our lives. Those moments that we, in our relationship with God, decide to go fishing. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I'm just going to break this down for you, and I think you're going to find that this can be a little bit more applicable to you than you might see on the surface. And so let me help you recognize today when you find yourself on a spiritual fishing trip, because I think this could really help a lot of us here today, wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, number one, I want to look at the decision in verses 1 and 3. I want to take a look at the decision that Peter made. Now, you're sitting there and say, well, he decided to go fishing. What's the big deal? Okay, let's jump into that, okay? He made a very specific decision and was at a very interesting time in Peter's life. Now, how many of you know that, as we already stated, that Jesus has already risen from the dead, correct? Correct? And he has appeared to the disciples several times. Peter has seen the resurrected Lord two or three times at least, okay? But let's even go before the resurrection. Let's even go before the crucifixion. How many of you know that Peter may not have been at his best before Jesus was crucified? What did Peter do? He denied even knowing Jesus, correct? 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 And Jesus predicted it would happen. Peter said, no way does that happen. Not at all. I'm willing to die for you. And then three times he's confronted about being a follower of Christ, and he denies that, just as Jesus predicted. And now we find himself after the death of Jesus, after the resurrection of Jesus, after seeing Jesus with his own eyes, we jump to verse 1, 2, and 3 of our text. Look at it again. Verse 1, 2, and 3 says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and it happened this way. Now, here's the guys that went with him. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we will go with you. Now, again, on the surface, this doesn't look like a big deal, does it? He's going to go fishing. But can I point to you a scripture in Luke 5? I don't have it on the screen, so if you have a Bible, you need to turn there, or you need to just listen real well. Luke 5 is about 3 years before this story on the screen. Okay? So we got a three-year gap. 3 years ago, Jesus called Peter to be his disciple, and Andrew and James and John. All happened at the same time. Listen to how this story goes, because you're going to find that's very, very similar to the story that we read at the beginning of this message. But yet they're two different moments. Luke 5, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets, and he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him, and how many of you know Simon's name is also what?
Moses.
It's Peter, okay? All right. Hang with me, folks. I know it's a rainy, cold day, but we're going to get through it. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water, let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've been hard all night, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything at all, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And then Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, get away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon's partners, and then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And verse 11 is the key. Verse 11 says, so they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything. And they followed him. So what was Peter's profession? He's a fisherman. When Jesus called him to follow him, he left that behind. There's only one occasion where Jesus instructs Peter to do any kind of fishing in between then, what I just read in this story here. And that, ironically, it was when the taxes were due. Today's April 15th. And Jesus told Peter to throw a line out in the water, and when he caught a fish, there was a coin in the fish's mouth, supernaturally provided by Jesus. Don't you wish it was that easy, by the way? IRS calls, hey, I'm fishing. I'll be right with you. And he was able to pay the taxes of all the disciples and Jesus right there just with that one time where he cast a line and caught one fish. That's the only time. Otherwise, in 3 years, Peter has not gone back to fishing. Now let's bring it down. In those 3 years, Peter has not gone back to what Jesus called him out of. Let me say that again, because I want this to sink in. Until now, Peter has never gone back to that very thing that Jesus called him away from or out of until now. And it was at this moment that Jesus appears. He raises from the dead. This should be a time of rejoicing. And Peter, in the midst of all of that, I mean, some of the most phenomenal things you could ever experience as a follower of Jesus is what he has experienced. And all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to go fishing. In fact, I'm going to go back and do what I used to do before I even followed Jesus. Some of you missed it. I'm going to go back and do what I used to do before I ever followed Jesus. So I ask myself, okay, what kind of fishing trips can we in the 21st century find ourselves making? What are some bad fishing trips? What are some bad decisions that we as followers of Jesus in the year 2018, what are some similar decisions that we can make that would cause Jesus to kind of stop us and say, have you caught anything? Let me show you. First of all, sometimes we are guilty of going back to a previous sin issue. The Lord called us out of that particular sin. And we said, Lord, forgive me. And we said, Lord, I repent. God, I will turn my life around. But then sometime later, and isn't it ironic that sometimes the temptation to go back there will happen after some of the most significant spiritual moments you'll ever have with Jesus? Are you following me? Because this is profound stuff, church. Sometimes we will be most tempted to go back after God has brought us forward amazingly. And it doesn't get much more powerful than laying eyes on the resurrected Lord. So please don't think that your past experience is enough. I could never sin again because I had this experience at this crusade 8,000 years ago. No. We are all prone to this. So it could be a previous sin issue that we had. It could be a previous addiction. Maybe God has set us free. And please don't think that I'm only talking about heroin here. Okay? Anything that controls you is something that you need the Lord to free you from. Okay? So some of us can be addicted to something without ever putting a needle to our vein. So maybe we were addicted to something. Maybe we just feel like we cannot live without a certain thing. And then God frees us, but then there's that draw to go fishing again. Maybe for us it's a previous lifestyle that we led. Some of us need to realize that there's a struggle with sin. But then sometimes we just need God to not just, actually all the time, we don't need God just to change our habits. We need God to change our heart and our whole life. We don't just need God to change what we do. We need God to change who we are. And then there's the draw to go back to that after the Lord has called us out of it already. Or maybe it's, and this could really creep in the church world, maybe it's just a previous attitude. There was a time where your heart was whole. There was a time that you had joy in your life. There was a time where you were happy. There's a time you just loved the presence of the Lord. But for whatever reason, you're being drawn back to maybe a critical lifestyle or a judgmental lifestyle or something that just doesn't bring glory to the Lord. It's not even necessarily something that you're doing, but it's the words that you're saying. It's the person that you've become. You've become very cynical to the things of God. And I will tell you right now, having grown up as a church brat, having given my life to the Lord when I was 9, and here I am now 29, and all this time, just seeing if you're listening, so here I am, I'm 51 years old now, and so when you are around the church that long, you can become very cynical towards the things of God. And that's a fishing trip. It's never good. It's never good. So maybe this morning, you might find yourself on a boat that you had no idea you climbed into. See, but it doesn't just stop there, though. It doesn't just stop there. Because the ramifications or the consequences of doing this, of making this decision, will lead to some things developing. And that's number two. I want you to take a look at the developments that took place. Because not only did Peter make a decision, but some things developed based on his decision, based on his intent and his desire and his decision to go back and do the very thing that Jesus called him out of in order to follow him. Look what took place as a result of that. And we're going to take a look at 3, 4, and 5 now in John 21. Here's what it says. I'm going out to fish. And Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. Okay, let me keep going. So they went out and got into the boat But that night they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And no, they answered. See, here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is not just about you. The way God has designed Christianity and the way God has designed the church is this. Everything we do should have an impact on somebody else, a brother or sister in Christ. But if that impact and that influence, if that is negative, then we got a problem. And this is what blows me away, because what developed from this, take a look, first of all, at what I would call the influence in verse 3. Peter had an influence on other disciples. And in verse 2, they were named. I don't have that here, but verse 2, it said that it was some guys like... where'd it go? Here we go. Oh, no wonder I'm in the book of Luke. All right. Hang with me. Peter, Thomas, who's also called Didymus, Nathaniel, James and John, sons of Zebedee, two others that aren't named. Can I ask a question? What is Thomas doing in that boat? He's not a fisherman. What's going on? It would seem that there were people that, although they seemed very close to Jesus, when they saw the decision that Peter made, they decided to follow right along with him. See, here's the deal. You have no idea. You have no idea the impact that a decision to go on a fishing trip will have on the people around you. Because I promise you, there are other followers of Jesus who are watching you. Some that are seemingly strong. Some that might even be considered closer to Jesus than you are. John. And they're all going into this boat. They all followed his decision. Mom and Dad, can I speak to you briefly? Your kids are watching. And if you decide to get back on that boat that God brought you out of, if you decide to get back to that life that the Lord freed you from, if you decide to go back there, I promise you, your kids are going to see that decision. And there's a good chance they're going to follow. Leaders in here, and if you're a Christian, you're a leader in one way, shape, or form. Do you realize that the people at work are watching you? Students, do you understand that the people at school are watching you? And you don't have room. Hear me. You don't have room to make this decision in front of them. The cost is too great. They very well might get in the boat with you. They might very well go back, and because you're doing it, because you've made that decision, they, incorrectly, but they will go in that boat with you anyway. Even if they know it's wrong. Even if they know your attitude is wrong. Even if they know your conduct is wrong. Even if they know the words that you're saying are wrong. Even if they know all this, there are times that we as followers of Jesus, even when the Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," there are times that influence is enough for other people to follow. And that's the tragedy of fishing trips. It's not about you. It's also about other people. Not only was there an influence, but they were ineffective. Not only was there an influence, they were ineffective. Verse 3 and 5 tells us that they fished all night. And how many fish did they catch on their own? Nothing. This is probably why I don't fish a lot, because most of my fishing trips are akin to this one. They caught nothing. And here's the deal. when we fall for the lie that says that we can go ahead and get back on that boat, when we fall for the lie that says it's okay to make that decision, here's the thing. We are never going to be fulfilled like we think we're going to be. We are never going to be satisfied in the way that we think we're going to be satisfied. When we jump back into that world and back into that life and back into that conduct and back into that attitude, when we do that and we think that's the answer or that's okay, it's not okay. And no matter how hard you try and no matter how good you are at it, and no matter how many people you're surrounded by that are also trying to do the same thing, you will always come up empty. Always. Always. And then thirdly, if these first two weren't bad enough, here's what else developed. Not only was there an influence, not only were they ineffective, but there was also what I would say an insensitivity to the presence of Jesus. Verse 4, Jesus shows up on the beach. and we hear him saying, "Guys, have you caught anything?" No, we haven't. Who is that? And the scripture says that none of them recognized. Don't follow it. Oh, don't lose this, don't lose this, don't lose this. None of them recognize the presence of Jesus. This is probably the most damaging thing that takes place when we make these fishing trip decisions. It's the fact that after a while, no matter what your past experience has been, and no matter how amazing or awesome it was, and no matter how much leadership you've had in the past or how much influence you've had in the past, if you allow yourself to get in that boat and go back to what Jesus called you out of, whether it be a lifestyle, a sin, an attitude, whatever, that will always stunt your ability to recognize the presence of God. You will find yourself in church needing to be worked up and entertained before you can actually engage in worship. Why? You're on the wrong boat. You're on the wrong boat. You've made the wrong decision. You've taken some steps backward, and it's affecting your ability to recognize the very presence of Jesus. Not just in a Sunday worship service, just in your everyday life. You can't recognize him anymore. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You don't know it's there. It's like something is missing. And may I tell you that it wasn't Jesus that left. In fact, he's on the shore. Scripture says they're about 100 yards away, so a football field. About 100 yards away. And may I tell you that Jesus is a whole lot closer than you think he is. And every time you set foot on that boat and you feel miserable, every time you set foot on that boat and you feel a little bit convicted, it just doesn't feel so great. No matter how many times you try to convince yourself that it does, that's God. That's Jesus standing on the shore saying, "Have you caught anything? How's that working out for you?" Message Bible. How's that going? Is that decision really working out for you? Is it going back to that old attitude? Is that really what you want? Because what have you caught from that? Nothing. Nothing. Wow. I mean, a decision like this, who knew it could develop into something like that? Who knew that could happen? Well, thankfully, we don't just leave you there in the boat today. Say, good luck, camper. Because Jesus has appeared today in this place. And he's standing at the shore of your heart today. And he's going to ask a very, very serious question to some of us today. Seriously, have you caught anything? Is this really working out? Because it's not the way I've designed it for you. I called you out of that. I've totally called you out of that. So thirdly, we get some directions that I want to give any of us, no matter how big your boat is, whether you realized you were on the boat or not, no matter what that entails for you, these directions apply to every single one of us. And I want to show them to you. Now, these are found in verses 6 through 14, the remaining part of the scripture. I won't go back and reread all of that, but I think it would be helpful for us to remind ourselves what Jesus had to say. In verse 6, I think he's saying this: it's time to do things my way. It's time to do things my way. He gets up and says, "Have you caught any fish?" "No, we haven't." "Well, okay, guys, do it this way." I don't even know who this guy is. He's just on the beach bossing us around. What's going on? "This is how I want you to do it. So it's time to quit fishing your way. And now it's time to do things my way. So give that a chance." So instead of being greedy, we become givers. Instead of becoming critical or judgmental, we become people who speak life into people and who love the presence of Jesus Christ. And instead of people who are engaging and getting wrapped up in sin, we are free because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we don't even mess with that anymore. If we got to run from that garbage, we will sprint like we got a gold medal coming, but we will not mess with that anymore. So Jesus says, quit doing things the way you're doing them now. I don't care how much it feels good. I don't care how much you justify it. I don't care who's doing it with you. Stop doing it your way. Start doing things my way. And that'd be his message to us. "Well, I'm not sure what God's way is." Oh, please. Okay, let's just stop that. Because there's enough God in you. If you know Jesus, there's enough of his spirit within you to be able to get off that boat. You don't need a whole lot of profound preaching with words that start with the letter D in order to make that decision. But just in case you're wondering how God wants you to do it, I brought the instruction book. And men, we have to read this, because we're not really good at instructions. Exhibit A. But all of us, my friend and I went to his house one time and I tried to put together, he called me to help him put a desk together. Okay, he was a heavy drinker. No, he wasn't. He's actually a general superintendent. And we thought, yeah, we could do this. Honestly, we thought, yeah, well, let's just put it together. We made a mess. It maybe would have passed for like some weird abstract art sculpture or something like that, but it did not pass for a desk. We had shelves upside down. We had legs that were uneven. It was bad. So what do? We called our wives. No, what do? Annette, help. No, we finally looked at the directions and quit trying to do it our way. And Doug and I were able to put that desk together correctly because all the time we should have just consulted the instruction book. A lot of times we are making some huge mistakes because we're not consulting the Word of God. God has something to say about your life. He has a lot to say about your life. The Word of God has plenty to say about your life. And you can do this through God's help. Secondly, I think the Lord would not only say it's time to do things my way, he would also say it's time for you to give me your best. They've been fishing all night long. They, after Jesus tells them what to do, they bring in 150 big old fish. And in verse 10, Jesus says, give me some of those fish. You know what? I think that's a test for us. Because a lot of times when we find God blessing us, and he calls us to give him some of that, that's really a test as to how devoted we are to him or not. Did y'all catch that? Because that was really good. That was really good. It's time to give me your best. Don't give me your leftovers, give me your best. And your effort will change when you are governed by that mentality. Your giving will change when you're governed by that mentality. The way you interact with people will be changed when you're governed by that mentality. Give me your best. Then third, it's time that we spend some time together. Verse 12, they get to the shore, and Jesus says, let's eat. Jesus didn't have, like, lightning bolts reserved for Peter. Kill him. You know, he didn't do that. Jesus didn't have a lecture waiting. Stupid. You know, he didn't do that. He's sitting on the beach. He says, let's eat. Me and you. Let's talk. I think Jesus would just love the opportunity for us to just get out of that boat and just talk to him. And for you to listen. I think the Lord would say to his church, instead of doing things your way, doing mine, give me your best, but please, can we just talk? Could you pray to me? Would you please allow me to speak back to you? Would you please allow my Holy Spirit to speak to you and lead you? So that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just some one-time event, but you're actually walking in the Spirit? I'm going to close with this one, because I love this. Verse 9 shows us the discovery. And this is huge for us. They're fishing all night. Do we have verse 9 up there, Sue? I forget. Yeah, throw it up there. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it. Okay, let's... This is a funny story. Okay, because they're fishing all night. So if you're fishing, what are you trying to get? Oh, you guys are so brilliant. That's awesome. So you're trying to get fish, right? They've caught nothing. Not even a cold. They have caught no fish. So then they come they come to the shore, and there's Jesus. And he's fired up the grill. I did that yesterday. And Jesus did not have burgers. He didn't have brats. He was Jewish. Some of you get that, some of you don't. That's okay. Ask a friend. And so they see this fire, and Jesus has the grill going on. And what is... Oh, please follow this. What is on that grill? What is on that fire? Fish. The very thing that they were looking for. Jesus had it all the time on the beach. See, what you've been searching for in the boat, Jesus has it on the beach. What you've been looking for out there, doing things your way, thinking that you could be successful doing it that way, it could be fruitful doing it that way. Jesus says, tell you what, you're looking for security, you're looking for happiness, I got plenty. I've got your security. I got your fish. I've got your happiness. Quit bouncing around from relationship to relationship thinking you're going to get all happy because you found Mr. Right again and again and again. Maybe the security that you're looking for is found on the beach. It might be found not in the boat, but on the beach. Not on the ship, but on the shore. The Lord has what you're looking for. If you want fulfillment, he's got it on the beach. You want security. You want identity. He's got it on the beach. You want to be successful. Get the right kind of success. He's got it on the beach. Are you getting this here today? Quit trying to find things your way. Do things God's way. And he's got fish sandwiches ready for you. He's got exactly what you're looking for. Have you caught anything? How's that fishing trip working out for you? Jesus' words to you would be, okay, stop doing it your way because you're impacting other people. Stop doing it your way because you're not getting anything. Stop doing it your way. And now do it mine. And you're going to find out that the very thing you've been looking for, the thing that you didn't think you would find with me, I've got plenty for you. My prayer this morning is that whatever boat that is that any of us may have gotten on, that we'd come to the shore and discover all that Christ has for us today. Be by heads. Jesus, thank you for your word. It's so powerful. So powerful. I'm asking you now, Lord God, that you would work on every heart and every life that's here in this room, and that you would speak to us, Jesus. Speak to us now. Can I ask everybody here just to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed? So that you're in a mode of prayer. And I would ask even the most sanctified among us, even the closest person to God that's in this room, whoever you might be, could I ask you and everybody else if we would just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to let us know if we've gotten on a boat that we sailed once before, but we should have never gotten on again. A sin, a lifestyle, an attitude. What is it? Holy Spirit, I ask you that all across this room that you would show us. God, it may not be a blatant sin issue, but God, we've changed on the inside. And Lord, we need to get off that boat. Lord, some of us, we've given in to some kind of an addiction or temptation that you delivered us from way before. And now, Lord God, we find ourselves on that boat again. Or maybe we're just getting ready to stick our foot in that boat. Lord, I ask you that today we'd hear your voice just as the disciples did. And whether it's been a long time that we've talked to you or not, God, I ask you that we would hear that voice, we'd respond to you and do things your way now. Have you caught anything, church? I want to give you a chance to respond. Jesus would say, it's about time we had a little chat. I want to tell you how to do things. I've got it all taken care of. I got everything you need. Let's talk. Come to the shore. Sit at the fire. And let's talk. So I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. I want to keep this as private and personal as I can today. But if you find yourself on that boat, in any way, shape, or form, could I plead with you today just to pray and begin talking to the Lord? And it may need to start with, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. And it may continue with you just maybe being quiet before the Lord and letting his Holy Spirit speak to you. It may be you're opening your Bible and something from the Psalms or something from Proverbs jumping out to guide you off that boat and onto the shore. Could we just have a time with the Lord? So I'm going to pray. And when God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. And please take Jesus with you. And leave that boat behind today. Today. Just leave it behind. And let's see what the Lord does. If God's released you, you can fellowship in the lobby. I really want to keep this distraction free in here if we can, folks, so that people can pray. All right? So you may want to come to the altar. You may want to turn at your seat. Whatever the case, we're going to make this a place of prayer. When you're done, feel free to fellowship out in the lobby. Jesus, I ask you that today would be a day that a lot of feet get wet, jumping off that boat and running to the shore to you. And God, when we get there, I pray that we would find a conversation with you. God, that we would find that everything that we would find without you, that we can have even more so with you. So Lord, meet with your people today. God, these were followers of you that you dealt with. I ask you that today, that you would especially deal with people who identify themselves as followers of you, who need to get off that boat and get to the shore and leave behind whatever it is they need to leave behind. So God, meet with us, I pray, and let your Holy Spirit speak to us in your name. Amen. If you need to pray, feel free to do so right now. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless.